You got all of this through him. Amen. So we thank God for this wonderful, blessed Easter morning, Resurrection Day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And we just praise God. We thank God for all of you that are here, all of you that's online. It's just a blessing to be here today. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this another Sunday, another time in your presence, another time to share the word of God with your people, and another time for your people to receive your word. Father God, we just say thank you. We thank you for your death and your burial and your resurrection. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's with us now. And you left Jesus and went back to sit on the right hand of the Father. But you're here through Holy Spirit because you sent the Holy Spirit. And so for that, we thank you. It is so good to know, God, that one is not without the other. If you got the Father, you got the Son. If you got the Son, you got the Holy Spirit. And so, God, we thank you that you three are one and you work together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just give you all the glory this morning. We just give you all the praise. And Father God, we say thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, because I can't of my own self do nothing. So I ask you to deliver this message through me to your people, that they might receive and I too might receive more. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to use for a subject today. And sometimes I hear people preach, mostly in the Free Will Baptist denomination. I hear this. That's my background. But they'll give a topic and then they'll say subtopic. And I think to myself, why we got to have a subtopic? Well, this morning we got a topic of a subtopic. The message this morning is, title is, Jesus is Alive. He's alive. But so are we. If you're in Christ, you're alive also. And I want to put in here something I added this morning because it kept coming. Living fully alive. That's my subtopic. Living fully alive. Did you know Jesus lived fully alive? He lived fully alive. I can't imagine what living fully alive looks like. Haven't done it yet. The life of Christ is in me. I'm striving to live fully. When I say fully alive, I'm not talking about this physical life. I'm talking about living spiritually fully alive. Jesus lived spiritually fully alive. And so we need to be living fully alive in Christ. I'm going to go back to the scripture that Ed read this morning, Mark 16, 6. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. So today's message is a simple message, but one that's very important and it's a reminder to us. And you might be saying, well, I know Jesus is alive. I'm a Christian. I know he's alive. I know he's not dead. That's good. I'm glad you do. I do too. But not everyone believed this. They believe he was born. They don't believe he was born of the Virgin Mary. They believe he existed, but that he was not resurrected. But he is alive, and so are we. My sister was telling me about her granddaughter came and asked her, said, Grandma, so somebody came back and said they Googled the resurrection, and it said that Jesus didn't really resurrect. He didn't really raise from the dead. And that let you know, and we should constantly tell our children, do not believe everything you Google. Everything that comes up is not true. Best to believe the word of God. Best to believe the word of God. So Jesus was alive with God and was God. John 1:1 tells us, before he was born of the Virgin Mary, he existed with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1:1. He was born, he was crucified. He died, He was buried. After 3 days, he rose again. And we call this the resurrection. Why did Jesus come? Why did he have to come? He came because we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But now we have been made alive through Jesus' death for us and as us. Jesus not only died for us, but he also died as us. Colossians 2:13 says this. And you being dead in your trespasses, that was us. There's still some folks like that. But don't look down on them because you were there. I was too. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Jesus is fully alive now with the Father. I'm going to explain and go through that. But we were also made alive with Jesus. And we have all our trespasses have been forgiven. Sin stood in the way. God wanted to love us. He wanted us to be united with us, commune with us. But there was a problem after Adam did what he did, and a problem was sin. But what does it mean to say that Jesus is alive? What does it mean to say that we are alive? Like I said before, Jesus was alive before he died on the cross, physically and spiritually. He now lives forever spiritually alive and physically alive. He lives forever with a glorified physical body. He has flesh and bone. Let's look at Luke 24:39. This was after the resurrection. Jesus was with the disciples. And I guess they had a problem knowing whether or not he was real. They probably thought it was a spirit, a ghost or something. But Jesus told them, said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see I have." So now Jesus is alive in a physical flesh and bone body, but he is fully alive, spirit. And his body is fully alive. It was like that when he was here on earth. It was like that before he was crucified. But at crucifixion, what happened? At crucifixion, he took on our sins and it came upon him. I went to a service on Friday. It was the seven last sins of Jesus. It was a good service. I learned something. I learned the seven last sins of Jesus in order, I think. The first saying, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The first thing Jesus said on the cross was, "Forgive." He gave forgiveness. So trust me, none of us knew what we were doing in sin. They didn't know what they were doing when they crucified Jesus. But he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he told the thief, said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." He told John, said, his mother said, "Mother, behold thy son," and John to behold his mother. He prepared someone to take care of his mother. And then the next thing was, I think the next one is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He did three things before all our sins came upon him on the cross. When Jesus said that, all of mankind's sin for all eternity till Jesus come back the second time had been placed on him. And sin separates you from God. So for the first time, hallelujah, for the first time, Jesus was not fully alive spiritually because of the sins of the whole wide world. And then he said, "I thirst." And when the person was preaching and teaching about "I thirst," I thought about this. And I believe it was from the Holy Spirit. I don't think Jesus said, "I thirst," because he wanted water. They tried to give him vinegar and something else. I think he said, "I thirst because now I don't have my Father's presence. He's not with me. I thirst for his presence. I thirst for the spiritual part of me. I thirst for my Father's presence. Spiritual life has gone out of me because the sins of the whole world of all mankind has come upon me. And so I thirst for his presence. We know what it's like to be thirsty, don't we? You were thirsty before you received Christ as your Savior. And then after we received him as our Savior, we became alive. If we don't do the drinking and the eating like we're supposed to, the drinking of the Spirit and the eating of the Word, we'll still get thirsty. We'll still get thirsty. We'll still get thirsty. And then he said, it's finished. If I miss some one, then that's okay. He said, it's finished. And he said it was finished. He had paid our debt. The Father was satisfied with the payment. And so then he could actually die physically and say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And some don't believe this, but according to the scriptures I've read, I believe Jesus not only died spiritually, but he also died physically. He died spiritually first. That's why I said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he died physically up there on that cross for you and me. Because if he's going to pay and be like, pay the debt we owe, then we were dead spiritually, weren't we? So he had to suffer what we suffer and pay that price so that we could be free. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead physically. He didn't stay dead spiritually. The enemy thought he had him, but he didn't. He didn't. Jesus rose. And now he lives forever in a body with the holes and nail prints in it from the cross. So what that lets us know, there's physical life, there's spiritual life. There's spiritual death, and there's spiritual life. Let me say it again because I think I said it wrong. There's physical life and spiritual life. There's spiritual death, and there's spiritual life. No, something ain't right. I got it back. There's physical life and spiritual life. And also, there's spiritual death and spiritual life. There's also a spiritual body as there is a physical body. Some people, probably most, are physically alive but spiritually dead. That's the way we all started out, except for Jesus. Jesus started out spiritually alive and also physically alive, and he was born. He has never stopped loving us and wanting us to return to being one with him. The Father has not. Because spiritual death, what? Separated us from God. We were separated from God once Adam disobeyed God. Spiritual death came. Physical death didn't come right then, but spiritual death came. And Jesus had to come so that we could be delivered from spiritual death. Because what? Spiritual death separates us from God. It separates us from God. And if we stay separated from God when we are passed from this life, then spiritual death will also what? Cause us to be imprisoned in hell and in the lake of fire for all eternity without God. Somebody might say, well, you know what? That sounds unfair. Why God going to allow somebody to be placed in a lake of fire? Why God going to allow someone to go to hell? Well, the thing is, spiritually dead people cannot occupy spiritual life place, and they spiritually dead. If you're spiritually dead, you cannot even stand in the presence of God. But spiritually, if you're spiritually alive, you can. A spiritual dead person will never enjoy heaven. But a person spiritually alive can enjoy heaven. So it's like if a person is full of demons and you go and cast the demons out of that person, and the person now, and the Bible talks about, there's a parable in the Bible about this. And the person goes away free of the demons. The house is swept clean, it's garnished, everything's in order. But there's nothing there. That person, the Spirit of God has not been placed in that place. That house is swept and garnished, but there's no life there. There's no God there. And so when it's like that, what? The enemy's going to come back and bring seven or more worse than what he was. So it matters to be born again and have spiritual life on the inside. On the inside. So what is this spiritual life I'm talking about? It's a Zoe life of God. It's the Zoe life of God. That's spiritual life. Spiritual death is when people don't realize it, but spiritual dead people, really Satan is ruling and not God. In order to escape spiritual death, we all have to be born again from above. The only escape from this death to spiritual life is through Jesus Christ. Then we can live fully alive through Jesus on this earth. Can you imagine what it was like to actually live fully spiritually alive? To really be walking in the fullness of your the benefits of spiritual life? To be so fully alive that you have this connection with the Father, being able to hear the Father and walk in what the Father wants you to walk in. Someone said that our brain, we only really use a small percentage of our brain. That if we could use all of our brains, who knows what we'll be able to do if we could use all our brain. Well, have y'all ever thought about we're spiritually alive, but how much of that life of God on the inside of us are we actually walking in and using? How much are we actually allowing to come through us to help somebody else? How much are we allowing to come through to help us? How much Spirit of God and that life of God are we allowing to cause our bodies to be fully alive? To be fully alive. To have, and all of us have different ailments and stuff we're dealing with. So I'm not trying to condemn nobody. But what is it is like to, would it be like to have our bodies so fully alive that sickness and disease could not stand to be in our body? No disease, when it comes to touch our bodies, it would die because what? Our bodies are so full alive with the Spirit of God that it cannot live there. It just can't stay because we're fully alive in the Lord. How would it be if we're so full alive in the Spirit that we saw the enemy every time he came? We saw his deception every time he tried to come and get our minds and our thoughts somewhere else. We were so fully alive. We could hear God not only for ourselves, but for others. We were so fully alive, and so much life of God was in us. Every time we touched the sick, they would be healed. Fully alive. Jesus is alive. And so are we. He's alive today, church. And so are we. Spiritual death has been defeated. It's been defeated. If there's any spiritual death anywhere in our lives, it's because we are allowed it there and we have not come and fully alive in that area and allow the Spirit of God to come and be Lord of that area. Sometimes you just need to take your foot and say, okay, devil, what you bringing me is death. Get out. I'm not allowing you to bring that death into me. I'm not going to allow you to bring it in my house. I'm not going to allow you to bring it on my children. I'm not going to allow you to bring it on me. I'm not going to allow it. Spiritual death has been destroyed. And all who has, and we have received Jesus, it's been destroyed for us. The last enemy to be destroyed would be the physical death. Spiritual death has already been destroyed. But the last death to be destroyed for all believers will be physical death. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 says this. I'm going to read several verses in this chapter. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Isn't that what the word said? All, thank you, Lonnie. All shall be made alive in Christ. If you're in Christ, you've been made alive. Verse 23 says, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Verse 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. This is talking about physical death, not talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death has already been defeated. But the last enemy that will be put destroyed is physical death. Let's look at Romans 6, 4. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus is alive, and so are we. Jesus died so we could live fully alive. Fully alive. And the thing is, some people are enjoying more life of God than others. But there's no need for me to get jealous of Donnie if he's living more life of God than me. Because what? All of us have that same life of God in Christ. I learned something and that I didn't really catch it before. But I heard someone teach on this and I caught it. And I've heard people say, well, Jesus had the Spirit without measure, but we have it with measure. No. The Spirit of God has been given to us without measure. So that life of God in us is without measure. But we have to get in the place where we can what? Walk in it fully alive. Fully alive. It's like I heard Andrew teach one time about if that life of God is flowing, then if it's not flowing all the way at the fullness, then something is stopping it. Something is blocking it. You know, when your water pipes in your house and you turn it on, you got good water pressure, water just coming out. What's going to happen if something clogged that pipe up? You might get some water. It might trickle out. You know, but it ain't gonna come out until you clear that pipe. Then it'll come gushing out. Sometimes we're allowing some things to what? Keep us from living fully alive in Christ. That doesn't mean that life of God is not in you. It's in you. It's in you. What's that commercial about? It's in there. It's in there. It's in you. The life of God is in you. But what? We want that life of God to flow out of us at full capacity. As much life is in us, we want it to come out. And all of us are fully alive in Jesus. But we got to walk in that life. We got to walk in that. Jesus died so we could live fully alive. Let's look at Romans 6, 5. Let me check my time. Romans 6, 5. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, and we have, if you're born again, you have been united in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And what's the likeness of the resurrection of Christ? Now he's sitting on the right hand of God, fully alive. He has his resurrected body. He has defeated the enemy. He's victorious. He has conquered, and he has everything. He's the king. He's the high priest. This verse have a twofold meaning. We have the privilege of living now like the resurrected Jesus, fully alive spiritually. 1 John 4:17 says this. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because what? As he is, so are we in this world. It didn't say so we are when we get to heaven, did it? So we are in what? This world. So we should be in the likeness of his resurrection right now. Fully alive. Fully walking in the life of God. Fully allowing that life of God to flow through us. And in his second coming, our bodies will be changed to be like him. And we'll have a glorified body. Romans 6:5 says this in the ESV. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In order to be fully alive in Christ, sin had to be dealt with and put away. Someone had to pay the penalty, and Jesus was the only one that could pay the penalty. Only one that could. He was fully God, fully man. We are no longer slaves to sin and that old nature that was dead to God and the Zoe life. We're no longer slave to sin. And our old nature, that spiritual dead nature, was dead to God and dead to the Zoe life of God. But that is not so with us anymore. Romans 6:7 says this, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Did you know you died? But you did. You died, Lonnie. When you accepted Christ, you died. We died on the cross with Christ. We died what? That spiritual, our spirit man, that dead spirit died on the cross with Christ. It was done away with. You actually died on the cross with Christ. Once the old man, old nature died, sin no longer has dominion. Romans 6:11 says this, likewise you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we ever think much about being alive in Christ? Do we ever really meditate on the fact that we're alive in Christ? Do we really take time to meditate on the fact that we've been dead, that we're dead to sin and alive to God? Fully alive. We are dead to sin. It might be a good thing for us when temptation comes and we need to look at it and say, I'm dead to you and you dead to me. So ain't nothing here. Let's look at Romans 6:8. Now we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Live with him fully alive. If we die with him, we're going to live with him. The old mothers and stuff, I used to say this, and my mom and them sung it in their church, the Primitive Baptist Church. I done died one time. I ain't dying no more. You done died one time if you're in Christ. You don't have to die anymore. That means I done died. I was dead spiritually. I ain't got to die no more. Now I'm alive in Christ. Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And this also should be true for us. Death no longer has dominion over us. Spiritual death no longer has dominion over us. Romans 6:10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Sometimes we need to just put our name into the scriptures. So I'm going to read that scripture again. I'm going to say it like this. For the deaf Ernestine died. She died to sin once. But the life she lives to God. Kind of what Paul said in Galatians 2:20, isn't it? So all of you, all of you, all of us, for the death we died to sin once. But the life that we now live, we live to God. We live to God. Likewise, you also, verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So if that's true, and it is true, We should not let sin reign in our body to obey it in the lust. Because what? We have power over sin. Sin does not have power over us. Nobody told me that when I first got born again. And when I looked at the Word of God and I began to read the Word of God and found out that sin does not have dominion over me anymore, that I actually had the power to say no to sin, that's a big thing for me. That was a big thing for me. So to be fully alive means to be dead to sin. Fully alive to God, but dead to sin. Verse Romans 18, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Let's look at Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and if you're born again, he dwells in you. And we all know whether or not the Spirit of God dwells in us or not. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Holy Spirit, what? Imparts life to our bodies. We are to live fully alive in this world with the life of Christ in us. Jesus is alive, and so are we. Start telling yourself that. Start telling yourself, I am fully alive in Christ Jesus. I am fully alive. Yeah, Lana, you got it, girl. I am fully alive in Christ Jesus. I am dead to sin. I'm dead to that old habit. And I'm alive in God. The life of God flows through me. That same life. That same life that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in me. I have resurrection power living in me. Now, at first, your body might not believe it. Probably won't. Your head ain't gonna believe it either. But if you meditate on it, and say it long enough, guess what? That mind is going to be renewed and that body is going to come in alignment with the Word of God. How do I know? Because it happened to me. When I had back issues and I meditated on the Word of God and who I was in Christ Jesus and the authority I had and the life of God in me, and there came a day. It didn't happen overnight. But it came a day when that back pain had to leave and my back had to correct itself and be healed in the name of Jesus. Fully alive in Christ Jesus. Fully alive. I know we lived in the natural world so long that supernatural things and the life of God is very supernatural. The things of God are supernatural, but guess what? We are supernatural beings. We are supernatural beings. We live in a world and we live in a physical body, but we are supernatural beings. And you have the supernatural power of God flowing through you. So it's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to live fully alive or not. Or, you know, alive in some areas and then dead in some. But the life of God, it doesn't change in us. It's still there. God's not an Indian giver. The life of God he put in us is still there. Just waiting. Holy Spirit just waiting. He just waited. Okay, today I'm going to get them to step and walk in more life today. I'm going to get them to live fully alive today. Being obedient to Christ is living fully alive. Reading the Word of God puts you in that fully living alive category. When we meditate on the Word of God, that helps us walk in being fully alive. Acknowledging God in all we say and all we do, putting Him first, that helps us to live fully alive. And I'm still working on it myself. I'm not saying I mastered it. But I'm not giving up on it either. So Jesus is alive, and so are we. You're alive. Christ lives in you. His life is in you, and you are alive in Christ. In Christ Jesus, you are alive. Tell yourself that. Talk to yourself. Talk to the devil too. Somebody said, talk to the devil because he's sure going to talk to you. So talk back to it. And guess what? These bodies will talk to you too. So we got to talk to our bodies. And we are, Jesus is alive, and so are we. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for your life that's in us. Your life is in us. And we can tell when your life is operating us, and we can tell when we've kind of gotten, kind of a little dry. We can tell that too. So, God, the goal is that we stay fully alive in you, that we walk in the life of God that's in us, that we allow your life to flow through us, that everything that we touch brings life. The words we say and speak bring life. Help us to do that, God. Help us to let our words be seasoned with grace so that we speak life to people, life in situations, and not death. Help us to say what you're saying because you always speak in life because you are life. Help us to speak life to ourselves and life to others. Life to our children, life to our grandchildren. Help us to speak life in every situation we're facing. Death is already there, and the enemy is already trying to overcome a person or a situation with death. So help us begin to speak life over that situation, life over our bodies, life over any dead limbs, or life over any mindset that needs to go. Help us to speak life, Lord. Help us to get the word of God and speak the word of God over ourselves and over our situation because your word, God, is life and your word brings life. So help us to do that, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk fully alive because Jesus, you're alive and so are we. Help us to live as people that are alive in Christ. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk as a person that's alive in Christ. In the name of Jesus, God, we say thank you. We say thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 We're going to close with prayer for the sick. If anybody got anybody they want us to pray for, I got a couple of people I need to pray for. I've already prayed for them. I need y'all to help agree with me on for those people. My neighbor, Mr. James, is still in the hospital, and I went to see him on Wednesday.